Several years ago, we had the privilege of meeting Dr. Chris Lodewyk from South Africa and becoming fast friends with this man of God. Now, we are honored to be able to call him friend. It is a joy to be able to have him come here to our church here on the Olympic Peninsula when he could be so many places with thousands of people. He's a mentor of mentors, a leader of leaders, a renowned teacher used to bring healing in his own country as well as other nations of the world when apartheid regime was in effect. The difficulties as he bears his soul and shares what he went through and his family went through as he guided people through and then the healing afterwards. He was Reinhard Bonnke's right-hand man for what, 4 years, was it, I think, or five, seven, six? Okay, six. Do I hear ten? Anyway, so what a privilege it is for us to have our friend here with us this morning. We are so glad. Let's welcome Pastor Chris Lodewyk.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
Good morning. What a place to be. I'd rather be here than anywhere else this morning because the presence of the Lord is here, and that's a good place to be. Since the very first time I came here, I've always enjoyed being here. And I thank you for allowing me the privilege and the pleasure of being here. I apologize for last time when we got stuck in the cemetery. I was a bit disappointed. I was under the impression that the church had a helicopter to bring us across. But thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here today. And, when I come here and I listen to this instrument, what did they call it? A xylophone or something? What is it called?
Marimba.
Marimba. Okay. Xylophone is something totally different. Tells you what I know of music. But this instrument make me that I don't sing. I can just sort of look and hear. I want to listen to it. It's so beautiful. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Well, it's been a while being here, and I trust you are all well and continuing Jesus. I can't tell you where I've been since I've been here. I can't remember. I'm a little bit over 48 now, so you can't remember it all. But I can assure you that with all that I have seen and experienced over the last few years, that we are in the most difficult times of ever in our world. And you know, in there I see the awesome privilege that we have, that Jesus would trust us with a time such as this. Wow. If he thought we were weaklings, he'd get us out of here. You know, and put some stronger people in. And then he let me and you be around here in the most challenging times of our history. And I just thank God for the honor and the privilege to be part of those preaching this gospel and bringing the testimony to people who are in need. Later this year, I will be celebrating 65 years of ministry. It's a little while. So there's a difference between that other age that I gave you, over 48. Okay. But I've never got tired of it. And by now, I have complete confidence that Jesus is everything that he says he is. I've never come across one single thing that he says he is in his word, and I found him to be wrong. I believe him. I trust him. He's all and everything that he says. And this morning his presence was here and is here. And it's here not to entertain us. It's here so that we may bathe in his presence, yes. But also accept and take from his presence all and everything that we need. Because his presence provides for us exactly what we need. Some of us don't always remember or think or imagine what our needs are. But he knows. And when he brings you to sit around his word, then he provides exactly what you have need of. And I want to assure you, whatever the Lord has spoken to you through tongues, interpretation, music, and worship, he has provided for you the opportunity to welcome him in and take the opportunity to be blessed by him. Now, many of you know my name is Chris, and I have been blessed to be married for 53 years, and I am the proud father of 8 children, and I stopped counting, 4 children. I just doubled them up. And 8 grandchildren. And 3 great-grandchildren. And among them are all the in-laws and outlaws. And they're all serving Jesus, every single day. Every single one serving Jesus. And it's such a blessing. I used to call them a family. Now they've outgrown that and I call them a tribe. And it took some time this morning, when early this morning they went on FaceTime and wanted to say Happy Father's Day. They stand in line in the garden, one by one, and it took some time. But wonderful to know that the Jesus that is interested in you and saving you and bringing you out has brought you out so that he can get others out. And then he starts by your family. And none of your family are out of the question. Because he's brought you in. Now, however long and however it's done, if you keep on, he will bring your family out. That's why he brought you in. To start the process. So, begin to thank him for what he's doing and what he's going to do. No, yeah, that's an Afrikaans word for now. Let me begin. I thought much about, should I be speaking on Father's Day and on fathers? And I just felt that I know the Lord wants to speak wider. And somehow I find that God is guiding me to encourage you to seek his excellence of wisdom. And he is all wisdom. There's excellence in there. Proverbs 8 verse 10 says, receive my instruction and not silver. Or not necessary, just silver. Receive my instruction. And knowledge rather than choice gold. Solomon's experience of the rewards of wisdom was unparalleled in human history. One of these greatest rewards of wisdom is that we have a choice. Choices is something that people gamble with these days. And yet, in spite of that, God at all times give us a choice in different areas. He convinces us. He provides us direction. He speaks to us. He speaks to us through others. He speaks to us through his word. And still, he leaves us with that final choice. And we got to be thankful for that, because he doesn't speak to us and speak to us and speak to us and speak to us and then cut us off. It may come eventually if we never stop. But he leaves us with choices. He loves us so much that he gives us rope. Is that a saying in America? Yeah. He gives us rope. And he places before us the best. But he's never going to somehow get it down your throat. God is a gentleman, a loving one. He places it before you on a tray and say, there are the choices of life. The choices of life is there. Choose he this day, he says. The problem is, what do we do with those choices? I want to speak to you about two choices that is somehow intertwined, but that people sometimes neglect and so often choose the one above the other that's weaker than the actual choice that's the best. And let me speak to you about a choice that you can make between surviving and thriving. Thrive or survive. You find in today's life that people are simply, okay, I'm fine because I'm just surviving. I've made it last week, I'll make it this week, and I hope to make it next week. Now, it's one thing to run into trouble and you survive that problem. It's another thing to live your life as simply just surviving. One of the saddest things that we see around us today is that most people are content with just surviving. I got news for you that God has much more in mind for you than simply just to survive. He hasn't just dumped you out here and say, okay, survive now, see how far you come. No, no. But he's still that gentleman and the loving gentleman that says, I give you the choices, choose. If you want to have a life where you live every single day of your life just trying to survive. Now, I have respect for people that live in countries, in places that have nothing else but surviving. I'm not referring to that. I deal a lot and I work a lot with people that are merely surviving. Part of my work is working in conflict resolution. I've just come back from Seychelles. Not for a holiday, because it is the best place for holidays. But to be there and assist with conflict. Conflict that have come from 1978. And people are bitter about it. Anger. I spoke at the symposium and I don't think I've seen people so bitter in my life. Listening to them as they asked the questions, you could see that what happened in 1978, they've never forgiven themselves and they have never tried to get beyond where they are. They stuck there, both the perpetrator of the revolution and the victim is fighting because they bitter. And I know some of them are stuck, not knowing where they should be, where they can go. It's a sad place to be. But you and I, whom God has gifted and graced with opportunities to live where we can make a choice. That's different. I do not believe that God will hold responsible somebody, a little child somewhere, who has grown up and know nothing else but surviving from the one day to another. He's a loving God. But when he has blessed us as he has blessed you and I, because he regards us as become adults in our walk with Jesus and knowing him. To us, he says, I put before you life and death. Choices all the time, but he places it before us so that we can choose. And it's so sad that more wrong choices are made in our world. And you know about most. Immediately some thoughts can come to your mind about some of your family, your friend, your neighbor, and they regret the choice that they've made. They're now living the consequences of that choice. And if you make the choice, and it's that choice to simply just survive, then of course, don't blame God. Look in the mirror and see who's to blame. Some of the definitions of survival I looked up, and it says to just continue living. Others says to merely exist. Another says to remain alive after just getting through what I'm going through. Another says continuing to exist in spite of danger. And then the last one that I picked up was, well, just surviving until the next survival. In contrast therewith, we find that some of the people that seeks to strive, they get somewhere. They seek to strive instead of simply surviving. The word surviving is not found often in the Bible. Not much. I think 2 or 3 times. The one that stands out is Lamentations. How many of you read for encouragement in the morning, Lamentations? Well, it's there. It's not a pleasant one. There was, in fact, no refugee of survivor at the end, Lamentations. It's found to be the most sorrowful book in the Bible, written by the most sorrowful author, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. But God gives us grace to look at the opportunities that He gives us to thrive. You know, the joy about that is that God is in it, but I'm also in it. You know, it's the two of us that's going to make it. Because we're seeking to thrive, to overcome, to win, to get beyond where I am today. And with God seeing us doing that, it loves Him. The more I give to where I want to be, the more He wants to give to get me where I want to be. The less I want to add and help and put a foot forward so that I can thrive, the less He would sometimes stand back, because He wants to teach us to walk. And once we've learned to walk, He will then take us forward and carry us to where He wants us to be. To strive. You know, I sometimes tell the story of, and I haven't told it for a long time. The only one little small thing that I have above my friend, I went one standard above him in school. You know, both of us come from a background where, you know, education, if you had a what we call the standard sixth grade, wow, you're educated. My, you're highly educated. And a few years later, of course, but now, of course, even if you have a matric or what you call it, yeah, whatever it is, when you go to 10, I went to a graduation party yesterday where one of the schools were proudly there, graduating there. Now, for Pastor John and I, you know, we were proud to be standard 5s and standard 6s, as we call them. But I was determined when I found Jesus, I'm not going to get stuck there. Not going to get stuck there. I sought every single opportunity. I went into Lyceum College. I went into the different colleges that I can at home, and until eventually coming to my theological studies. But I fought. I wanted to be placed at God's disposal as much as what He can use to use me. Some of us do not want to place anything at God's disposal and say, Lord, here am I. You know, this is the little bit I have. Make it much. We want to stand there with hands behind and say, give it to me all, Lord. You know, give it to me. Give it. I'm ready, Lord. We want it on a tray. But when we strive. And I remember, I told a story to a few people. You know, with no education almost, I had to take I don't know what they call it, a kind of mini type of job, you know. But I was determined that I'm going to trust God. I'm not staying here. I'm going to get beyond this. And I climbed from the one to the other. And a nun to the other. And I equipped myself as best I can from the one to the other. And I want to come to sort of the last one because there was too many steps to that. And I know you're having lunch this afternoon. But, and I walked into a civil engineering company's office because I saw that they needed a senior sites clerk with some experience along the area and in the area of civil engineering, which I didn't know how to spell it. And when I walked in there and I saw the other 9 people sitting there, and I think I was like number 7, and they're all sitting with their portfolios, what they're going to present to the manager to show that they deserve this job. A few times I wanted to walk out, but then, stay in here, Chris, man. And I sat there until it was my turn to come in. And when I walked in, the manager got up, tall, Rhodesian at the time, and he said, my secretary didn't bring any portfolios of yours in. Where's yours? I said, sir, I haven't got it. What do you mean? I said, no, I haven't got anything. He says, then what are you doing here? I said, because I want this job. So he said, it doesn't work like that. I said, sir, it can work like that. He says, what do you mean? I said, sir, it can work like that. I said, all that I need is just a chance in life, an opportunity, and I'll take it with both hands, and I'll make you proud of me. And he looked at me and says, man, who are you? It doesn't work like that. I said, sir, just one chance is enough. And I promise you, I'll make you proud of me. And he began to scratch his head. What's he doing? And he picks up the phone and he says to the receptionist, tell the gentleman the job is taken. The big problem now is I know nothing about it. And the next day, the chief engineer comes along and he puts me, he says, get in the car. And I got in the car and he travels to the place where they are to build this new elevated reservoir. And he drops me there and he says, this is your site, there's your office, you're running this one. I said, thank you, sir. Okay. Anyway, I met the chief engineer there and we spoke a little bit here and I got into the papers and I got into everything and I prayed much. And prayer helps. How many knows prayer helps? Prayer rescues you. He came back, the boss, about a week later, maybe 5-6 days later, he came back and he said, how's it going? I said, I think it's going well, sir. He says, so is things going okay? You got enough time? I said, yes, sir. I work for about 3 hours and the rest of the day I got nothing more to do. And he looks at me. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm just speaking the truth, sir. The work that's here, I have about 3 hours work and then I do nothing. He says, do you think you can run 2 sites? I said, I think I can try, sir. Get in the car. Get in the car, and he drives me a place called the harbor in Hartbay, and he says, we're extending this harbor. Can you run this one? I said, I think so. And there I am, working there. Week and a half, 2 weeks later, he came. How's it going now? Are you satisfied? I said, almost, sir. He says, what? Are you a glutton for punishment? I said, sir, I think I can manage 3. And he looked at me. He said, why do you do this? I said, I made a promise to your colleague, Mr. Faber. I promised him I'll make him proud. He says, get in the car. And he drove to the Cape Town airport. He says, we're extending this apron. This is the amount of concrete I want going per day. And so, well, I got almost double the amount because I told all the workers there there's a barbecue every Friday. If you give me that amount, that's there. And we finish ahead of time. Long story short, about another year after that, I walked into that same office of that long, tall gentleman. But this time, I'm walking in there to take his position as manager of the company. With nothing, but just placing something that you want to give, ready to give, at God's disposal. To thrive, to go beyond the average, to go beyond what comes easily, to go beyond what people say, yes, a step and climb on that, you'll get somewhere. No, but to go out there and say, I can go by Christ's power and strength. I can do all things through Him that strengthens me. Survive or strive. The other word for strive that you find in the Bible, or it's interpreted as to prosper. It's the same meaning, to prosper. So you can actually say to simply survive or to prosper. That's the biblical word for it, to prosper. Now, in our time, when we talk about prospering, people think about money. Yo, there's an opportunity to be a millionaire. Prosper is much more than that. It's deeper. And it's God's heart for us to prosper. Whereas we find 2 or 3 times surviving in the Lamentations and another book, we find to prosper more than 100 times. Which tells me that God wants so much more for me to prosper. If only we can understand that He wants us to prosper, it's nice to have a bit of extra cash. And yes, He prospers business people, and yes, He prospers you in finances. Yes, I believe in it. But do you know that the Bible almost say that 90% of when the Bible speaks about prospering, it speaks about prospering in more than just silver and gold. Because it speaks to us about prospering in what you do. And that to me is more than a message that, okay, serve me and I make you prosper so that you get an extra few dollars. To prosper in what I do. To prosper in where I go, the Bible speaks about. To prosper with what I have. All of these things are there in which we can prosper. And it's much more advantageous to prosper in my doing than in my getting. If you and I know that God, by His grace, is prospering us in what we do, and we seek Him therein, then we're not nervous about tackling anything, because He employs you there. He imparts it to you there. He equips you for there, because He gets ready for what lies ahead to take you further. Because you're prospering in what you do. And sadly, our world is not on that same wavelength. They want everything to be handed on a tray. Instead of saying, Lord, prosper my doing. Prosper my going. Prosper but my giving. Prosper my walk. And I find instructions to godly men in the Bible that God had said that they got to prosper in what they do. Israel's leadership transition. There in the time of Joshua, he said, be strong and be of good courage. And repeats it three times. Says, be strong, be firm, be resolute. Don't be swayed. Don't redirect from it. Be courageous, be daring, so that you may prosper. We want cheap prosperity. Whereas it comes easy. Whereas we do not want to do what is told and said, be strong. Be strong. So that tells me that being strong is almost a precondition for being online, being on your way to prosper. But if I am not doing anything of what God is saying, I cannot demand of Him. I cannot even ask of Him to prosper me, because I'm not being strong. I don't want to be strong. Because if I'm weak, you know, others will help me. And I depend on others to help me. And I believe it's significant that here in Joshua 1, it tells you there from verse 6 and 7, you can 5 and 6, you can read it later. And it says to be strong and to be courageous, and he repeats it so that you get the message. And all of that, it comes at the end, and he said, so that you may prosper. In other words, it's almost a kind of precondition for prospering. David's last words to Solomon. Keep charge of the Lord your God. Walk in His ways. Keep His statutes. Keep His commandments. Keep His testimonies. So that you may prosper. Prosper doesn't come with a mail tomorrow morning because you prayed last night. I believe in prayer. I can tell you miracles of God's provision through prayer. But I can tell you about more of the miracles that have come through people that have prospered because they have listened to the scripture and they've taken it and said, this is mine. I'm going to be strong. I'm every way. I'm going to be strong and I'm going to prosper. It was important. And there are many more. Deuteronomy 29 verse 9. Israel's covenant that must be held. Moses calls Israel together amongst all of them there. In verse 9 it says, keep the words of the covenant so that you may prosper. Why am I saying that? What goes there? Obedience. So that you may prosper. Some people want, as I said, prosperity to come by fast mail. when they are in God's word, not necessarily conditions, but there's prerequisites where he says, the opportunity is there. You can. You can strive. You can win. You can overcome. But then he says some of the sort of preconditions. And we don't like that. We become a world and a society that wants everything delivered on our lap. And we sometimes are even satisfied with the second class delivery when we can get a first class delivery. And really, it is God's heart that we prosper. He wants it. But he will not feed it to you. You know, like if you feed the baby. Because he believes that we've grown up through his word. And he wants us to act like grown people and say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be more than an overcomer. Because I am thriving every single day to get beyond where I am now to where God and I want to be. I told you the story when I was here last. And I've got to watch out that I don't overstay my welcome because I want to come back. I told the story, you know, some of you have read my biography. And that's my claim to fame. The fact that I lived in a stable until I was 14 years old and came to Jesus. When our home was taken from us because we lived in on the wrong side of the line, which were intended for the white population, and I'm black, so there's no room for me and my mother and my father and the children and all, and no alternative accommodation. And we walk in the streets for one night, and some people came out and said, well, we haven't got room in our house, but we can let the horses out if you want the stable. So we said, thank you. At least I got that in common with Jesus. We both lived in the stable. But I was determined, even if I was a bitter young man, for what happened. And everyone wanted to go into the story that made me a very angry person. Absolutely angry. And I stuck with that bitterness for years until a Holy Ghost, I was almost going to say invitation. The invitation was always there. But a kind of where God intervenes and says, I'd let you loose long enough now. I'm stepping up and saying to you, this is the way you can get out of this bitterness. You're hating every single white person on earth. Your mom was one. But she was classified downward because, in order for their marriage to be behold. And I can go on and on and on and on. But I knew that I need to find something that will make me whole. And something that will take me forward. And the biggest breakthrough came years later. Many years later. And I'm going to close now, Pastor, shortly. And I was part of a massive conference, 6,000 people in there, praising the Lord, and it's still during the ugly apartheid days. Praising the Lord, yellow, black, and white, all there praising the Lord. And while they were going on that towards the end, and I walked up onto the balcony, and I looked down very proudly to see with the 6,000 people so enjoying the Lord pouring out on them. And I said, Lord, hallelujah. This is me, Lord. I did this. And then I heard the voice, what about you? Me? Don't you know me, Lord? Don't you recognize me? I'm the director of this, you know. This is all me. These people wouldn't be having this, not me. And I tried every excuse to get out of it until eventually. I said, okay, Lord, what more is there that you want me to do? And he says, to ask forgiveness. I said, Lord, but it doesn't work like that. I am the victim. The white man is the perpetrator. Okay, and then we bargained. I said, Lord, you send them to me, I won't be nasty. And the Lord said, no, you go. And I fought for another almost half an hour, and even, okay, Lord, okay, I'll go. Let me just see which one that's friendly. And I begin to walk to that person, and just as I walk to the person, he's not facing me, and he turned his head. And when he turned his head and I saw who it was, I said, Lord, no. No, you cannot do this to me. Please help me, you cannot do this to me. I was the head of the so-called colored church, representing the colored, the black, the Indian, in the biggest Pentecostal church in Africa and South Africa. And on the opposite was the head of the white church. And all, we were like that, there over the table, every board meeting, almost killing one another. Friendly killing, you know? Not nasty, not swearing, but, you know, friendly killing one another. Now I must ask him for forgiveness. Eventually I did go. I went and I tapped on his shoulder, said, hi, Doc. And he looked around and he says, oh, Pastor Ludovic. And I said, I've come to ask you for forgiveness. And then we had another fight about who should be asking for forgiveness. And he was a very stately Afrikaner. You know, you don't hug him, you're nothing. You know, very, you don't do that to him. And he grabbed me, and I grabbed him. And when I felt something, I said, Lord, this must what they call love. And he said, no, not yet. I said, what more can it be? This is so wonderful. And suddenly I find myself leaving the mess of auditorium and walking outside. Don't know what I'm going to do there. Meeting isn't really finished yet. And I walked out. And I went to go and stand on the opposite of the pavement, not knowing what I'm doing there. And while I'm standing there, maybe 10, 15 minutes, the big doors about 10 times as big as that opens up and all the people comes out. And when they came out, as they walked towards me, I heard the voice of the Lord say, ain't they beautiful? And I said, yes, of course, Lord. Are they beautiful? And he said, even the whites, are they beautiful? No. Yes, Lord, they're beautiful. And when I said that, I felt, this must be it. It happened. And then I said, Lord, this is love. And he said, no, not yet. I said, what more must I go through? And as I stood there, bewildered, I saw this truck coming down the road. And when the truck was coming down and those people coming out, I knew there's trouble. I looked at the truck and I didn't know. I wanted to shout for them. It looks as if they're not seeing the truck. And when the truck came a bit closer, I ran to them and I stopped the people and I stopped the truck. And when I wanted to stop the truck, there was no truck. Then the Lord said, that is love. When you prepare to give your life for others. That day, I was set free. I became a new person. Now I look at my friends. The majority of them is much lighter than me. I look at my family. I can't call them a family anymore. I said a tribe. But they got them all in there. They got the Afrikaner in there. They got the British in there. And I look at them, and this morning they were all, as I said, standing in line to say, and I look at them and I see this picture. I said, wow, my. That's where it happened. That's where it happened. And he prospered me. With all my family serving him. All of them doing well. Even the schoolless, educationless boy. He prospered him. If it was not for Jesus, I hate to think where I would have been. It's all because of him. I say to you in closing, don't just idle around here, waiting for to get out of here. Get busy. Strive. Prosper. And prosperity doesn't come from sitting in the favorite armchair. It comes from going out there. Doing something better than you did yesterday. Winning others to Christ as you were won to Christ. It's an ugly world out there. They're not dying by the dozens anymore. They're dying by the thousands now. With all kinds of atrocities and things happening across the world. Every single morning you open the paper. I close with what I started with. God trusted you enough to put you into this block of people being here. To be called for a time such as this. If he think you wouldn't make it, you couldn't make it, he'll have you out of here in a jiffy. But he trusts you more than you trust yourself. Let us not disappoint him. Let us not disappoint him. It depends on us, for us and our neighbors. It depends on us for our countries. It depends on us for our families. Let us not let him down. God bless you. I love you.
Pastor Chris, will you remain, please? I know there are so many different messages the Holy Spirit brings at a time like this. And I know that some of you, I sense in my spirit that some of you are being moved on by the Spirit to forgive people you don't even want to think about again. Where there's been broken marriages, devastation from parent to child or child to parent, there are issues that only you know. And the Lord wants his people to be free. Such a powerful living testimony and witness in front of us. It is an honor to be with you again, my brother.
What a joy.
If you will stand, and if that has described something in you, and again, I know there are other things. There are those who are hearing from the Spirit. You know you have something in front of you to do. God has given you something to do, and it's time to step out and do it. And God's here to give you the strength to do that. But with your eyes closed, if you know you need to express that forgiveness and repent of bitterness, would you please just slip up your hands? I'm the only one seeing them. And Pastor Chris, would you please lead us in prayer for these beautiful brothers and sisters?
Heavenly Father, we come before you with much thanksgiving. because indeed we have much to be thankful for.
Yes.
The mere fact that we are still here and have the opportunity to be at the sound of your voice in your word. The mere fact that you have brought us here today. The mere fact that you have encouraged me to bring testimony to what you can do. These people, precious people,
yes,
that are lifting up their hands right now. Something they need from you, Lord, so desperately. Whatever that may be, whether it is to be given forgiveness or praying that there would be peace between them and others in the family. Whatever they're standing for, I ask, meet them right at their need, right there where they're standing. I pray as they point out to you now in their hearts and in their minds, the area where they have need of, I pray in the name of Jesus,
yes,
that all-powerful name of Jesus, that you right now will release in them that freedom,
yes,
that release, that freshness in their soul, and that they will feel that you have listened and you have answered. Touch them right now.
Yes, Lord.
And let them leave here with a feeling of victory. And if there's somewhere that they must go and go ask for that forgiveness, give them the strength and the courage and let them go and do it so that your kingdom may come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now would you extend your hands toward Pastor Chris, please? Father, we thank you for the man of God that you've brought to us again. We thank you for the rich treasure that you've put within it. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to open doors and use this man and around the world. And we pray that every open door, blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and strength, body, soul, and spirit, and vision, O God, natural and spiritual, the embracing of the next steps for him, the heartbeat of God. Lord, we thank you that you have invested yourself within this man of God. And now all of us together say, we bless you in the name of the Lord. Again, we bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you, buddy. If you're here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus, it's your day. He loves you so much. Now, if you haven't given your life to the Lord this morning, he loves you so much. You come on up after this message is over, after this morning closes. We'll have someone here to pray for you, to bring you to Jesus. If you need healing in your body, there are those who are here to pray for you as well. God has brought you here this morning, and it's not an accident. He loves you. And thank you again, our brother, for bringing the message. Did you bring any of your books with you? He has a couple of books as well. We encourage you to find them along with Pastor John's book. And we just buy them out. Anyway, God is good. And he does so many precious things. We're thrilled that you've been with us this morning. Lord bless you as you go. Celebrate the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace of God. And go out to do all you can to cooperate with the Lord and prosper in him. Amen. Be released in the Lord.